Today's second lesson may be found in Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Hear the word of the Lord. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those authorities that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Do you wish to have no fear of the authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive its approval, for it is God's servant for your good. But if you do what is wrong, you should be afraid, for the authority does not bear the sword in vain. It is the servant of God to execute wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be subject not only because of wrath, but also because of conscience. For the same reason, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants, busy with this very thing. Pay to all what is due them. Taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is due, honor to whom honor is due. The word of the Lord. In the 1960s, our family lived within 10 miles of America's most hallowed ground. Concord Bridge, where the shot was fired, heard round the world. Lexington Green, where Minutemen fell mortally wounded. Faneuil Hall, Bunker Hill, the Boston Tea Party, Old North Church. For a couple of Californians reared so far from our nation's birthplace, it was like walking into the pages of history and experiencing at first hand both the agony and the ecstasy of the American Revolution. I sometimes fear that we have so glorified the revolution that began at those sites that we may forget the colonists who did not fight because they considered the revolution to be rebellion. Rebellion against a lawful authority. I have no doubt that they quoted today's text, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities." And since the governing authority was George III, they refused to relinquish their loyalty to the crown. And yet, there were tens of thousands, many of them Presbyterians, by the way, who were not only not subject to the governing authorities, they took up arms against the authorities. In fact, there were so many Presbyterians at the forefront of the American Revolution that in England, it was called the Presbyterian Rebellion. How do you like that, Presbyterians? We are either famous or infamous. You can take your choice. Did they do wrong, those who fought against the crown? Were they disobedient, not only to George III, but to God, based on today's scripture? And must we, as Christians, obey today's government in any and all circumstances? Let's begin where Paul begins. Government rests on divine authority. He underscores this four times in today's text. Verse 1, there is no authority except from God. Verse 2, therefore whoever resists authority resists what God has appointed. Verse 4, the ruler is, quote, God's servant for your good. Verse 6, authorities are God's servants. Nothing could be more plain in this text. Government rests on divine authority. If we lived in the best of all possible worlds, I suppose we would have no need for legislators and laws. We would have no need for police and judges. We would have no need for speed limits and radar traps, but we do not live in such a world. 11 years ago this summer, a drunk driver snuffed out the life of one of our sons-in-law. In an instant, on a quiet country road, our daughter was robbed. Our daughter and her three children were robbed of husband and father. We do not live in an ideal world. And the frightening crime statistics we hear on every telecast are ample proof that far from living in the best of all possible worlds, we live in a fallen world. There are many people who are driven by a pride that says, I will live any way I wish. I will ingest any substance that makes me feel good. I will drive at any speed I please, even if I injure and maim and kill someone's husband and father. And because we live in a fallen world, God has given government authority to hold society together, however precariously, to curb violence, however defectively, and to protect life, however imperfectly. Government rests on divine authority. But does that mean that government can do whatever it pleases? Has God given presidents and prime ministers carte blanche in civil affairs? 70 years ago, the German church said yes to those questions when Adolf Hitler came to power. If Hitler is in power, they said, God wills it so, and we must obey God's minister. And within 10 years, 6 million Jews, 600,000 gypsies, and countless others were put to death at Auschwitz, Treblinka, and 100 other death camps. And the entire world was dragged to the abyss in World War II. So when Paul commands, let every person be subject to the governing authorities, does he include Hitler and Joseph Stalin? Does he include Saddam Hussein and the current leaders of Sudan, where millions have been put to death, where hundreds of villages have been burned and destroyed, where an entire society is being wiped out? Paul answers that question in verses 3 and 4. Rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Do you wish to have no fear of the authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive its approval, for it is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, you should be afraid, for the authority does not bear the sword in vain. It is the servant of God to execute wrath on the wrongdoer. So, yes, government rests on divine authority, and government's proper function is to approve what is good and to punish what is evil. In other words, government exists to administer justice. Not just liberty, but liberty and justice is the true goal of human government under God. We're hearing a lot these days about law and order, and well, we should. To curb gangs, we tighten our curfew laws. To stop muggings, we hire more police. To catch burglars, we deploy helicopters, and that's all well and good. But if we take our cue from the scriptures, law and order are not quite enough. Adolf Hitler maintained law and order in the Third Reich. But would anyone claim that Hitler was a minister of God? Saddam Hussein maintained law and order in Iraq, but would anyone allege that his government was ordained by God? No, because while there may have been law and order in those regimes, there was very little justice. And because there was so little justice, law and order could be enforced only by intimidation, by torture, by imprisonment, by beatings, by concentration camps, by death, by massed graves. As one German writer put it, quote, Hitler's government punished the good and rewarded the evil, and therefore reversed God's given mandate. And by reversing its God-given mandate, it ceased to be an authority instituted by God. On October 18, 1945, the German church issued the Stuttgart Declaration of Guilt. In it, they admitted that Hitler could never have perpetrated his demonic crimes against humanity had the church taken more seriously its responsibility, its duty, to resist injustice when it first began. From the biblical perspective, the function of government is not simply to provide us with law and order, but to give us order based on laws that reward the good and punish the evil, laws that honor the dignity and the rights of all persons, laws, in other words, that are just laws. So government indeed rests upon divine authority. It exists to administer justice. And thirdly, government requires our active participation. And that is especially true in America, where we are the government. If Paul could call Christians to support the government of Caesar Nero 2,000 years ago, where people had so little say in how they were being governed, we of all people must participate in government, and I know that you do. You serve on election boards, you are active in political parties, you occupy elective office, and you work for those who do. Jury duty occasionally taps you on the shoulder, and many of you are active reservists and presently serving in this nation's armed forces. Government has a right to expect our participation, for Jesus commanded, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. And Paul in today's text says, pay to all what is due them, taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue, respect, honor to whom honor is due. We owe our government active participation because the government, as Abraham Lincoln put it, is of the people, by the people, and for the people. Speaking of the Gettysburg Address, Bishop G. Bromley Oxnam gave the annual Memorial Day address at the Gettysburg National Monument one year. He concluded his speech by quoting the Gettysburg Address and thought he had done a pretty good job, until an old man came up to him afterward and said, son, you made an awful mess of Lincoln's speech. Oxnam was horrified. Here, he said to the old man, here are my notes. Look, I'm sure I got it right. Oh, I don't need your notes, the man said. I know it by heart. You see, I heard it the first time around. He was there that day when Lincoln stood on Cemetery Hill and delivered the speech that more than any other document defines the soul of our nation. So Oxnam asked how his recitation differed from Lincoln's. The man replied, Abe put his hands over the people like a benediction when he said that the government of the people, by the people, and for the people should not perish from the earth. You got the words right, son, but you missed the message. You emphasized government. Lincoln talked about people. There has never been a nation like ours with such great potential for creating a thoroughly just society for all its people. Our Constitution calls for justice. Our consciences call for justice. Our Christ, speaking through the Apostle Paul, calls for justice. And so, as Christian citizens today, on this 4th of July, and for every day to come, let us pray for our nation and for its leaders. Let us protest, when necessary, our nation's injustices, and above all, let us participate in making our nation all that it was intended to be, a nation that offers and delivers liberty and justice for all. Amen.